There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host, Nasser Hamid, is overseas on assignment. This is podcast number 386, October 22nd, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the Northern California Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we adore the Northern California Rotax Challenge and, of course, Marin Karting. On today's program, congrats to Jenson Button, new FI president this Friday. Kimi, where are you going? Can Flav win in the French courts? And of course, there will be no Motorsports Mondial with the guru being on assignment overseas. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
Well, you know, it's all over now.
Yeah, I was just thinking that myself. It's kind of like, well, the season's really actually over.
We may
have one more race, but there's nothing, you know, it's basically an exhibition.
They call it a relaxing event.
Yeah. Well, for most of the teams, it's, you know, no stress because you're not trying to win a championship. You know, I think there's only like one or possibly two positions in the standings that could change based on points. So, you know, for most guys this weekend, it's not pretty much just a vacation weekend in Abu Dhabi.
Not only that, but I think the folk in Abu Dhabi are probably a little bit perturbed because you know that the ratings are going to go down. A lot of people are going to not going to turn it on. They know who their world champion is, especially in England.
Yeah. Well, if you're a diehard F1 fan, you're going to be watching just because it's the last opportunity to see a race until April. But, yeah, it definitely you're going to see ratings drop off, I'm sure. You know, in America, you know, most of these people can either sleep in or, you know, get up and watch their favorite, you know, NFL pregame shows and do things like that instead of watching motor racing.
NFL pregame show, see? Oh, yes, the cooking season. Escargot. We never know whether we're going Bourgogne or something else. Keep up the good work, Stephen. And my favorite part is Jenson Button is now ready to discuss his future with Braun, making it clear he wants to stay with the team. In other words, contract, money.
Years.
We'll see what happens.
But and frankly, I think he'd probably be more interested in getting years of contract rather than money on contract.
Well, he says he's more interested in being in a competitive car. And, of course, he says he's not expensive. But it's contract time, gentlemen. It's ducats, dinero, liras, whatever you want to call it.
And, well, you know Ross Brawn's going to want to re-sign him now that Rubinho is definitely on his way out. Though,
where is the Rubinho going?
Well, I thought he'd signed with Williams.
I don't think so.
Still
no, that's up in the
air.
Was
that a rumor? Could I just pick up Kimi? Though it appears that Kimi's a little expensive, according to some players.
But according to Toyota,
I imagine though, if I'm Kimi and Toyota's offering me a contract, my dollar value is double because I know I'm not going to be in a winning car.
Well, I don't know. It depends. You know, Toyota showed pace this year, but the problem is, their drivers seem to not, you know, they seem to come up short. And also,
it seemed really weird with Toyota because they were either really strong in qualifying or they did crappy in qualifying and had really good races. It's like, can't you guys put those both together?
Well, you know, like the Alonso factor, the Hamilton factor, a great driver brings motivation to a team that brings great performance.
Yeah.
And I think Toyota is looking for that next step, and they haven't had it. I mean, they have the Ralf Schumachers, the Jarno Trullis, and Timo Glock is no slouch for sure, but I can see where a great driver like an Alonso or a Kimi Raikkonen would definitely boost the team to the next level or that one spot on the podium they haven't been able to achieve.
Yeah, could push them over the top. Yeah, especially somebody like Kimi, who when he is on, he is he's really the class of the field when he's on his game and not taking a nap. So that could be what they could do. But ultimately it comes down to, I'm sure that Kimi's asking for more money from Toyota than he might from McLaren.
Well, I think Kimi is going to ask for a lot of money from anybody. And right now, he's still, you know, I don't know where he's going. He's not confirmed to McLaren. Toyota's made an offer, but they say he's too expensive. There's an opening at Renault, but I just don't see him going to Renault.
No, and then there's been talk about him possibly going to Red Bull, but that seems to have been quashed by Christian Horner over the weekend.
Absolutely. He says Mark Webber's in. We're not even thinking about a Finnish kind of a guy. So, I don't know. But on the other hand, on the other side of the pond, Member of Parliament Richard Burton has tabled a parliamentary motion calling on Westminster to celebrate the achievements of Jenson Button and the Braun GP team in clinching the 2009 Drivers and Constructors World Championship. The Labour MP for Birmingham Northfield tabled the motion yesterday and is particularly keen that the House of Parliament recognize the scale of the task facing Button and Braun this season following Honda's pullout last winter. So keep up the good work, the English. They're going to run with this, and it's going to be great. They're going to be sales at Harrods. Piccadilly Square is going to be Button posters everywhere.
Should push a measure through to get Donington funded.
It's not going to happen. I have to admit, I haven't spoken about Donington for a reason. It's a sad state of affairs. What is going on there? And us over here in America, really, you know, we really don't know what's going on with Donington. You could read what's happening in the press, but whether it's going to be a Donington or Silverstone next year, who knows?
No, we won't probably know until the season's about to start the way things are going at the moment, though we may have something more definitive in, what is it, about 10 days when the Donington steps up and tells Bernie whether or not they're going to fulfill their contract.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I was hoping it would go to Donington for something new and special. But
be a nice change of pace.
But it's such a disaster.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's been kind of hamstrung from the get-go. It almost smells like some kind of real estate scheme that, you know, oh, let's get Bernie to buy in and then we'll sell the property around the track and make a bundle and then take a hike.
Yeah, I don't know what, but apparently they've gotten some more funding and Bernie has extended the deadline for his whatever it is. We'll see what happens, but so far it doesn't look like it's going to happen at Donington, but if it does or doesn't, we'll see what happens. Of course, Williams totally against the 14.
The 14th team.
Yes, the 14th team, the 14. I don't know why they're so adamant about this, but they're just dead against it.
Does it dilute the prize money pool for the rest of the teams, or does everybody get an equal share?
I don't know, but Frank Williams has made it clear that he will not vote in favor of allowing an extra team in order to make room for BMW Sauber. And that's the clincher, is BMW Sauber is pushing for this. And, you know, this is a great team that people are trying to save. And Peter Sauber is a good guy,
yeah,
has been friends with all of these people, yet Frank says X-Nay, Zilch-Nay on the 14th
team. I'm really surprised that as soon as BMW had the buyer, that the FIA just didn't reinstate their position on the grid, because kind of an oversight on their part to not put in their application if they didn't think they were going to be there. But
not only
26
that,
cars, 28 cars. What's the difference, really?
Not only that, but a lot of these cars will be back markers. And on the other hand, we're still not positive that these four new teams
are going to show.
Exactly.
All four of them are going to show up.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. You know, why not let Sauber in? And apparently they'd be powered by Ferrari. So a little bit bewildering. Frank,
not only that, but I would think Williams would want, now that Williams has announced that they're going to go to Cosworth Power, that they would want anybody else they get on the grid, because that's another team that could potentially be using the same engine as them, which would help in developing that particular engine and, you know, remedying any bugs with it.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. The other big news, Williams not picking Power by Renault, but Cosworth. Now, it's not set in stone, but apparently Patrick Head has indicated that, yes, they're going with Cosworth. The design team is designing around the Cosworth power plant. And the key to this is the Cosworth power plant will be tweaked. They will be allowed to
It'll
tweak the motor.
Tunable.
While the others are not a...
Right, because basically, theoretically, the Cosworth is, you know, 3 years behind.
Correct.
Because basically it stopped development at V10 and never really... I think they had a V8 on the board, but never went through with it.
Correct. So it's a big gamble, and I'm stunned that Frank would want to do this. But he's going to do it.
I would think that it would make it very difficult for Frank to get anybody other than a rookie driver right now. Who's going to want to go to Williams?
Powered by Cosworth.
Yeah, when you don't know whether or not that power plant's going to be worth anything. You know, they were not exceptionally competitive with the Toyota power plant. They were good at some tracks, but on the general whole, they were not exceptionally competitive. And to go to what amounts to an untested power plant... Maybe that's why he doesn't want another team, is because that's more people in the back, among the back markers to clutter up the Williams track.
And I'm sort of surprised. I think maybe some of this crash gate from a driver that we will not mention.
Yeah, that's always a possibility. That
has sort of tainted the pool.
Yeah, or just tainted that marquee to kind of maybe get them... to reconsider. You know, frankly,
I think it's a big mistake.
Yeah, if I'm going to get on the grid and I have an opportunity to get a Renault motor versus Cosworth, which is fully untested, we know that the Renault is competitive when the car is right. So,
absolutely. I'm stunned, but Frank he's sort of a stubborn fella. So, Frank, you go with your Cosworth and we will be giggling.
Well, I'm guessing that he's getting the Cosworth cheap.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too. It's bargain basement.
It's entry-level pricing.
Correct. So, too bad for Frank. But also, this tweaking deal with the Cosworth, which they will be able to do where the other teams will not be able to do with power plants like Mercedes, Renault, and Ferrari, is also attracting Red Bull. Red Bull is considering Cosworth, even though I don't believe they're going to go for it.
I could see Toro Rosso maybe going in that direction, but I cannot see Red Bull going that direction. They've been competitive all season, running the Renault power plant. It makes no sense for them to jump ship. You can tune it, but I don't think that motor, at least for this first year, is going to be anywhere near as much horsepower as any of the other engines on the grid.
I agree completely. And
I can see Toro Rosso going back because they've had a relationship with Cosworth when they first came in.
Back in the day. And so did Williams back in the day. And so did a lot of teams back in the day. So we'll see what happens. And I'm happy for Cosworth. Apparently they're working 24/7 to put out a quality product.
Well, they've got to. They're going to be, what is that, four or five teams now that they're going to be supplying
exactly.
Next year?
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. And, of course, Mercedes has also stated that they're ready to supply four teams.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd be glad to supply four teams and keep that factory running 24/7.
Exactly, and that's probably going to be McLaren, Force India, Braun, and possibly Red Bull.
Possibly.
But I hope not, but that's the way it is. I don't know. Also, speaking of Renault, Romain Grosjean looks to be really pretty much on the chopping block.
He's definitely on the bubble. He has not shown the kind of pace that he was showing in DP2 since he's gotten into the Formula One car. He's been no more competitive than he who shall not be named.
Exactly.
And he doesn't have nearly the baggage that the former driver of that seat.
I know. I mean, sometimes baggage like that is flamboyant, which adds a little bit. But this Romain Grosjean, I mean, he's a banker.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe he needs more testing. Maybe he needs, you know, more time in the car. But we haven't even really seen any kind of flashes of brilliance out of him.
No.
The whole thing in Brazil when he suddenly became a moving roadblock is a little bit telling.
Well, I know what he needs. He needs replacing. I mean, let's get it straight.
He needs to be replaced is what he needs.
Well, you know, listen. Everybody knows I'm a Renault fan, and this humanitarian attitude at Renault is over with.
So bring in Quick Nick.
Very possible. Quick Nick is out there on the market, even being looked at by McLaren, because he was actually originally overlooked by McLaren many moons ago, and they picked the Finnish guy, the sleepy guy.
Yeah, well, that was probably a really good move on their part.
Probably. But anyway, we'll see what happens with Quick Nick. He's being looked at by Renault and McLaren.
And he's probably on the lists of, you know, the other three, you know, the three or four new teams.
Probably, because he's a dependable, sensible, experienced driver who can perform when necessary.
Yeah, frankly, you look at it, he's probably one of the most consistent drivers on the grid. What was it, two races ago, and he ended up losing a 41 race streak of finishing?
Exactly. So even though you and I have condemned him for years.
Yeah, well, he kind of hides behind
that beard.
Robert Kubica in front of him, and he kind of disappears.
That's true. So, I wouldn't mind seeing Quick Nick over at Renault, but it would be a little awkward, don't you think? Robert Kubica and Nick Heidfeld again? I mean,
there's
a limit. Even Robert Kubica is probably looking for something.
Robert's probably going, no.
A nice fresh face, you know, like Danica.
I want somebody who would be nice to me and not treat me like his little brother.
So we'll see what happens there, and I'm sure Romain Grosjean is not coming back. There's also talk about Bruno Senna testing over at Renault. There's a number of drivers that are capable of filling this seat.
Yeah, several. You've got a couple of kids coming out of GP2 this year that could jump into a Formula One car. Bruno Senna, who basically kind of was the odd man out this season as far as getting a seat, his seat, quote-unquote, being taken by Rubinho.
Rubinho.
The beginning of the season. So Bruno Senna, somebody we could see step in. And there's always the dark horse. And there's a couple of guys who haven't been in Formula One for the last couple of years whose names keep popping up. Guys like Pedro de la Rosa and Paffett.
That's true. Gary Paffett. And we still don't know what's going on with Campos. Also USF1, who... I mean, at least Lotus has shown a picture of their mock-up for their wind tunnel testing.
Well, supposedly, Peter Windsor and...
Ken Anderson?
No, and Matchett made a deal during the broadcast in Brazil that since they'd used up all their racing permits for the season, that they would have a special racing permit that would be a tour of the USF1 factory in Carolina.
Is this during the Abu Dhabi race?
Yes.
Da, 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 da. Well, that's good news.
So hopefully that actually comes to fruition and Peter and Ken don't find a reason for them not to let them in.
Okay, well, there we go. We're going to keep an open mind and hope that USF1 performs and produces something we can look at.
Yeah, I think what happened to USF1 is that, you know, they wanted to go with American drivers, but problem is that the American drivers who have the skill level to race in a Formula One car or have experience in a Formula One car are not really interested in getting into a Formula One car.
Not only that, but even a Jonathan Summerton, who we support here at F1 Weekly tremendously.
Yeah, definitely not seasoned enough really to step into
a
Formula
One car. He
needs
to go through a season of GP2 at least.
Yeah. And you get somebody like Scott Speed who has no interest in going back to Formula One. He's making a nice little pretty penny driving a Red Bull in NASCAR.
Well, you know what? I think Scott Speed would have an interest if the paycheck was good and the situation was right.
Right.
And because, I mean, you know, he hasn't won anything in NASCAR. And I know NASCAR is great for the hot dog and the PBRs. But still, I think coming back to the glamour of Monaco.
Yeah, I think the other thing you run into NASCAR, too, is just the field is so deep. You know, you're talking about races that start with 40 cars. A little tough to work your way up the field, especially when the established teams have been around for so long.
It's a traffic jam.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do.
And Frank Williams is worried about 14 teams?
Yeah.
Holy!
There are a couple of the tracks where 28 cars is going to be a real interesting proposition.
Like Monaco. But it'd be a few laughs for us.
Or maybe you just set it up so that, you know, you have the first round of qualifying. If you don't get out of Q1, you don't even race.
I agree. So anyway, so we know who's driving at Ferrari. We got Fernando. We got Felipe Massa. We know who's driving at Red Bull. That's pretty much settled.
Yeah.
Another top team. We got Vettel and Weber.
McLaren, we know who one of the drivers is.
We do.
You know, that's not going to change.
And not only that, but there's rumors out there that Lewis Hamilton
wants to go to Braun?
No. But he's making it difficult for McLaren to choose a number two. He doesn't want to go up against somebody that could give him some issues. In other words, Lewis Hamilton learned something from the book that Fernando Alonso wrote.
Yeah. Within the one that Nasser is constantly quoting from, don't let someone who can rattle your cage on your team.
Exactly. And I've been hearing that he doesn't want Nico over there. He doesn't want Kimi Raikkonen over there. And that's what the delay is for Kimi Raikkonen going to McLaren. Ta-ta-ta-ta!
Would be interesting if I would seriously doubt that he's been able to write a veto into his contract.
I don't know.
But
he's world champion 2008. He was world champion.
Did he get a new contract out of that? Or did he already have the contract he's currently under?
I think he signed up till 2011.
Yeah.
Or for life.
You know, and frankly, you know, if you're, I don't know, I never understood. Why don't you want to race against somebody who can actually push you? You know, your car's only going to be better than it could be. No. Maybe you have a rough season and you end up second. But, you know, look at Rubinho. His career's been completely revitalized by racing beside Button. And, you know, you flip two or three races, and it's Rubinho that's walking away as world champion last weekend and not Jenson Button.
Well, you know, I'm just telling you what I've been hearing through the grapevine, and it's not surprising.
No.
Sure, you want to race against somebody that's
equally talented, but you really want him in a different color
exactly.
car.
Exactly. You want him in a red jacket or a blue jacket or a pink jacket, but you don't want him in the silver and black.
So that's maybe an opening for Heikki Kovalainen to get another season.
It could be. So, I don't know. Very interesting stuff. And this is not surprising. As former world champions mature, they want the team to themselves.
Pretty much. And basically, the second driver as a support.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now we know that Sauber is pretty much a big IF. Don't know if they're going to be there this year. The new teams we don't know nothing about. Toro Rosso's definitely signed Jaime Alguersuari and your favorite, Sebastian Buemi.
Who, a pair of drivers that, well, at least Buemi's shown that he can actually put some pace into the car.
Absolutely. I think he did a great job.
The only thing is you look and see that I think one of the things you're losing there is that you're basically running two rookies, so you don't have any kind of stabilizing influence of a veteran driver, so you end up with weekends like they had in Japan where the car's in the fence more than it's on the track.
Absolutely. But at least they've signed those two drivers, and we know what we're getting next year.
So
Even though I think the cars are going to be so different that these young, I think the younger drivers are really going to struggle next year.
You know, maybe not, because there's no refueling in GP2, right?
That's true.
So maybe maybe there's a mile benefit in not having to worry about refueling and driving a car that's changing, you know, 2-3 times in a race because of the changes in fuel loads. You know, I really wish they'd get rid of the two-tire rule, because I really don't like that rule. You know, you have two compounds for the weekend. Let them choose what they want to run. If everybody runs the one compound, fine. You know, it's almost like Bridgestone's going, you know, hey, we made all these tires. We got to make them use at least one set during the weekend, kind of thing. But then on to more drivers. Toyota's a question mark. We're not even sure Toyota's going to show up at the grid next year.
We don't even know if they're going to show up at the grid, because that's why – that's, and you know what? I'm glad that they haven't even faked it. I mean, they're not choosing any drivers, except that they announced that they were searching for Kimi Raikkonen. So that might say that they will be here. Of course, November is the big month for Toyota when their board decides on a budget for Formula One. But I honestly believe that Toyota will be here.
Yeah, I'm thinking they'll be back at least for 2010. Maybe not 2011. Or maybe they'll hang out until the Concord Agreement runs out. But, you know, as we've seen here in America, the economy is starting to show some signs of turning around.
It is.
Which means, you know, people are going to be buying cars, which means Toyota's, you know, profits will be back up. So they'll have the money to spend. But who else do we have to worry about? Force India is probably pretty solid for next season.
I think so. It's going to be definitely Adrian Sutil.
Yeah, it'll be Sutil. But Vitantonio is probably maybe a little bit of a question mark. You know, but I'm not sure who they would bring in to replace him.
I don't know. They could get, you know, there's a couple of Indian drivers out there, but Vijay Malia has made it bluntly clear.
Frankly, that would be an interesting move for Kimi Raikkonen, because Vijay's the kind of guy who, you know, he basically has said that he wants to get the best driver he can. You know, wonder
now
if he's...
That would be fascinating. With Kimi Raikkonen going right to Force India.
But we've seen that that car can be competitive on a
fast track. Dude, I want to see the third eye. That's all I want to see.
But, outside of that...
You know what? I would become a Kimi Raikkonen fan if he had the testicular fortitude to do that.
That would be... You've got to wonder right at the moment. You know, Kimi, I'm sure, wants a competitive car. But if he can't get into McLaren... Is he going to take the biggest paycheck he can get?
Probably. He's not stupid.
Yeah, considering he's already getting paid for next year, one way or the other, you know, whether he's in a car or not. And really, Formula One is one of those sports where you really don't want to take a year off if you can help it. Just because, you know, people start to think that you're getting rusty. But it's going to be interesting watching the silly season play itself out through the winter.
Absolutely. It's going to be very interesting. And, of course, the biggest news this Friday is the FIA vote for a new president, Stephen.
Yeah, should be
and
very...
I know you're going to be teary-eyed. I know you and Max have been close. But it's bye-bye.
It will be interesting to see what's going to happen beginning the post-Max era and who is actually going to be leading the way in that era. You got to wonder if we're going to see the same kind of heavy-handedness that we saw with Max, you know, in trying to implement new ideas and methodologies, cost-cutting measures, and then, you know, expense-increasing measures all in the same breath. You know, you basically go, oh, we're trying to cut costs, but let's develop a completely unknown technology and try to put it in the cars.
Well, I think some of that's going to calm down a little bit. Let's not forget that Max took over in 1993 from the reins of Jean-Marie Balestre. And that was a complete chaotic disaster in the late 80s and early 90s.
And of course, the vote is for Jean Todt or 1981 World Rally Champion Ari Vatanen of Finland. Of course,
former member of the European Parliament.
Exactly. A tough guy. Been in politics. But Jean Todt, you know, having led the life that he leads, this is cake for him.
Yeah.
And I honestly think Jean Todt's going to win.
Probably. A little bit better name recognition. You say Jean Todt, you think Formula One.
Right.
With what he did at Ferrari.
Absolutely.
And then, so you're kind of like, okay. Ari Vatanen, you know, rally driver, but not much. But see, the thing is, I think a lot of people forget, too, is that the FIA doesn't just control Formula One.
No, I mean, they control WRC. There's so many different tiers.
Yeah, and just about every support series that leads up to Formula One is an FIA-sanctioned series. And then you've got some other stuff that we never see in the States. I think you mentioned to me that in Europe they have truck racing where they're actually racing semis.
Yes.
You know, which you only get to see at the tractor pulls in America.
Exactly. But it's going to be pretty exciting. They can't vote by mail. They actually have to show up in Paris, at the office.
Interesting. I wonder how many votes Ari's going to lose because the auto clubs that were going to support him can't afford the plane ticket to Paris.
Well, we'll see what happens. Each country will submit its vote.
And they'll be able to vote, basically, vote with anonymity, too, and not basically sign their ballot going, hey, I'm with the auto club of Northern France.
Well, some nations have more than one vote, meaning that an agreement must be found for that country before a vote can be submitted if various parties within the country do not agree. A blank vote then is cast. So if they can't come to a consensus between the car clubs in one country, they just say stinko. And we just blank the vote.
Wow, it's like electoral college.
It's very tough. Oh, it's brutal. Those who cannot attend the FIA's Paris headquarters are permitted to send a representative. Although voting by mail is verboten.
So what do? They call up, hey, Max, I need you to cast my vote for Jean Todt. Can you?
It's possible. They might do some sneaky stuff. Wouldn't doubt it. The entire voting process will be overseen by a supervisor known as the huissier de justice, a French court official. Following the voting process, the huissier will confiscate all ballot papers for one fiscal year. So, very interesting.
You know, when I read that the first time, I thought that was the guy's name.
No, that's not the guy's name. Then they would have said, Monsieur Huissier.
Yeah, okay.
So
it's my American coming up.
There you go. I can't wait. Okay, now that we've got the world championship behind us, this is the next big deal.
Yeah, this is the
really this guy could reign for 15 years. The way it seems. Yeah. And I think there should be term limits on the presidency because they become too powerful.
Yeah, ultimately I think that you maybe should be 10 years. What is
maximum?
What is the term? The typical term for is it 3 or 4 years or 7 years?
I think it's
years?
Like 4 or 5 years.
So basically,
I'm not even sure. Email me. Yeah, I have no clue.
Do it like the United States is, make a 2-term limit or a 3-term limit depending on what that number of years is. You know, if it's 4 you make it a 3-term limit, if it's 5 you make it a 2-term.
I'm willing to go 7 years.
Seven?
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking that maybe 10, you know, you top it out at 10 or 12.
Because it's probably going to take 2 or 3 years just to schmooze yourself into some of these clubs.
Or to beat down basically somehow dismantle FOTA so that you can.
I don't know, but we'll see what happens. I can't wait to see who it is because the first 2 years is going to be an agenda of kissing butt. And making everybody happy. There's going to be no changes in Formula One, which is really what everybody's looking for. Consistency,
ultimately,
steady rules.
Just minor changes that will help safety.
Exactly, what they're supposed to do. Safety at the track and on the cars.
Exactly. And not
classic regulations, not this, you know,
let's rewrite the sporting regs again for
exactly
another year.
Just for laughs.
Yeah.
No, I agree completely. I hope it becomes more sensible, which I think was the original concept, but it just got completely out of control.
Well, you get down to the point that, you know, at some level, the teams wanted it the way it was because it basically gave them a reason for development.
And
but
I think
you go into the cost cutting and basically freezing the whole system. You know, that's not, in my mind, Formula One. Formula One is all about cutting edge and development and moving forward.
I agree completely. I want to see this frozen motor thing thrown out the window. I want to see 12 cylinders, 10 cylinders, 8 cylinders, flats, you know, V's,
H's. Well, ultimately,
H's.
The thing that somebody, I think Max brought this up at one point, was is that, hey, let's go, you get 100 gallons of gas to run, you know, your 50 laps. We don't care how you power the car. You've just got to, it's all the gas you get.
That's
and
fine.
Do that. And that.
Innovation.
Yeah.
So I agree.
You know, you basically, the teams probably would enjoy that because, you know, the fuel economy, which is such a big thing.
And I completely agree to make it super exciting. Each team having a completely different attack on the scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'd love to see different motor concepts. And the ones who win usually win big.
Yeah. Well, it's like you take it back to like it was in the 70s and 80s where, you know, you get a guy out the team out there. Take the Renault Turbo, for instance. You get a car out there that's completely dominating but can't finish races because it's so cutting edge, it's coming apart.
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, but, I mean, if we had this frozen innovation in engine building, we would have never had pneumatic valves and that kind of innovation. I think it's critical.
How many of the other innovations that have gotten into road cars have come from Formula One? Anti-lock brakes. One of the ones that they were actually using about 3 years ago where they had actually set up the ECU to start alternate fire cylinders. You can buy that in a Honda now. Where when you get on the highway, it starts using 3 instead of 6 cylinders to
exactly.
Save on fuel.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens. But this Friday, I don't know how long it'll take to count the votes. But I don't think it's going to take that much time. Hopefully, we'll know by Saturday or Monday.
Hopefully. Frankly, if I'm the FIA, I want to make that announcement at the race on Saturday.
Absolutely.
On Sunday.
Sunday? The race is in 2 weeks, even not this Sunday, but
okay.
Next Sunday.
So, ideally, you would announce it at Abu Dhabi.
The new president could very well be at Abu Dhabi.
There you go, exactly.
So it should be pretty exciting. Now let's go to Abu Dhabi. Your thoughts on the United Arab Emirates new track?
Looks like fun. I've seen a drive through, an animated drive through of the track. It looks like it could be pretty interesting. Actually, I think I downloaded a game that they were offering to play it, but the gameplay was pretty crummy. But it looks like it's going to be an interesting track. I'm concerned about running a race in twilight and the potential issues that can cause for the drivers and safety. But I'm sure that it'll be, you know, well lit like it is in Singapore, so it shouldn't make any difference. And it's another desert track, which means, you know, sand is always a potential issue. But I think it's going to be fun. You know, it's always fun to get on a new track and see how it plays.
I agree. No, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be pretty interesting. Like you said, it is going to be a night race or a twilight race, as they call it. It also could be really boring.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't recall if this track is very wide as far as Formula One cars go and if there are any truly good passing points, but we'll find that out during the race. But it could be really dull because we could end up with another Valencia-type track,
yeah,
where there's really no opportunity for overtaking because either the track's too narrow or there's just no good spots to catch somebody.
I agree. On the other hand, the championship is over, so hopefully everybody will be taking more risks and to give us a better show.
Yeah, that would be very nice. Something short of 9 cars out in the first lap would be would be good, but we'd like to see more people taking more risks.
Yes, and we don't see the big nine car crashes out of the first lap too much anymore. Everybody's much more sensible about their sponsors, about the show, about the spectators, especially at a new track.
NASCAR.
And I don't even know if this show is going to be sold out, the attendance, what they're expecting, but being that it's the inaugural Formula One race at Abu Dhabi, I assume it should be pretty packed.
Plenty of VIPs, I'm sure.
I mean, I got my free tickets.
You just couldn't afford the airfare?
Exactly.
Or the hotel room, from what I understand, is pretty pricey in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I'd be sleeping up in Bernie's place. You got to kiss butt sometimes, Steven.
Yeah, well, he gets me a free hotel room and a ticket to the race.
I'll see what I can do.
Tell him he's the most brilliant man on the planet.
So there you have it. Anyway, there's no Motorsports Mondial on this episode because Nasser is on assignment getting those interviews that we know all of you love. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the wrap-up after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now let's go to the wrap-up with the forum updates, Stephen.
Forum updates provided by Miguel. Thank you, Miguel. This one is forum updates for October 20th. Pro button or anti button? The question is ripping the forum apart in a pitch battle led by Tricky Dick on the anti side and by Ye on the pro side. Slander, innuendos, and all kinds of underhanded play is fair game in a fight that is making the first lap of the Brazilian Grand Prix look like kindergarten. Podcast listeners should join the forum, pick sides, and contribute to the overall mayhem by posting on the different threads where this war is being waged. On the quieter note, Koala has won the Brazilian edition of the prediction competition, and Starfleet 76 is back on the lead of the overall rankings with a half-point lead over Landbray. Looks like Abu Dhabi will be Decision 09 after all. Landbray has asked forum members to nominate their five picks for the F1 Hall of Fame, and Ferrari Conspiracy revived a traditional debate by asking who is the best F1 driver of all times. The forum now has 516 registered members, the latest of which is Brand X. Welcome, and remember to introduce yourself in the user introduction forum. Thank you very much. Keep on posting.
Keep up the good work, Stephen. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at marinkarting.com or pick up the phone and call them at 415-898-0999. And also, I want to put it out there, you listeners, email us about an interview you want us to make, and we'll send Nasser to do it.
Or attempt to.
We always come through, Stephen. We have connections. Exactly. I want to mention our MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter sites. I have to admit, my favorite is Facebook. It's just a complete bunch of people. I have no idea who they are.
That's the whole idea. You're supposed to get to know them. That's what Facebook's all about.
I'm sorry. I just go, huh, what?
Who's that guy?
Yeah, but whatever. But anyway, yeah, MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter, of course. Do a search for F1 Weekly or
each one of us individually, and, of course, make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. We certainly wish Nasser all the best overseas. I'm sure he's having a great time. I know one of our F1 Weekly listeners, Mr. Yay, is his chauffeur. So they've got a special Camry limo delivered over there, and Yay is driving, and you can just picture Nasser in the back dictating to his secretary. So there you have it, Stephen. I want to thank everybody who listens to the show. I want to thank Toby Dawes, our webmaster, David Tapia, the executive producer, Steve, and myself. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.